rich black woman. Welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast, where we empower you to be rich in mind, body, and bank. I'm your host, your girl Yaz, and I am very excited about our next guest this episode, Veronica Conway, trauma slayer, you unleasher, black mastery creator. And I really could stop right there, but I won't. Let's continue. Veronica has worked with entrepreneurs, executives, and peak performers to transform mental internal barriers that prevent them from realizing their greatest financial and personal success. She's helped a spectrum of clients achieve success, from low-income inner-city clients to enhancing the bottom lines of multi-million dollar companies. She creates rapid and permanent behavior change by transmuting frustrations and fears into power. She's also had a very interesting and personal connection to the Black Panthers. And fun fact, Veronica secured more than $1 million in private school education for her own children. Why does she do all of this? Because there's nothing a rich Black woman can't do, y'all. Welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast, Veronica.
Thank you so much, Yaz. There is nothing a rich Black woman can't do. Amen to that. Yes.
Amen. And we have one with us this episode. So our paths crossed in the virtual world of social audio apps, and we were both in a really interesting room talking about issues related to our community, and your comments and insights really stood out to me, and I wanted to learn more. Who is this trauma slayer? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. And I'm so excited to be here. This is my favorite topic, women, Black women especially. You spoke briefly about my connection with the Black Panther Party. So I'll just begin there briefly. I was born the daughter of a former Black Panther. And so what that means, you know, it's really when police went to war with the Black community, sort of the second Civil War, I experienced extraordinary events. Police shootouts, you know, I had to attend school under an alias. And then it all culminated with my father going to prison when I was just 7 years old. He had a very high profile civil rights trial. He's been in prison for 50 years and he's still in. And yet, you know, after all of the recovery of that, you know, my mom tried to normalize my life and reset me. In visiting my father in the subsequent years, I really saw him live like a free man, even though he was incarcerated. And I really saw so many Black people, brothers and sisters, living what I now understand as lives of mental and emotional incarceration. And I really began to ask the question at a very young age, what's the difference that makes the difference? Is freedom a function of your circumstances or your choices? And so, you know, as I put myself through college and had my children, I found the profession of coaching, I really looked at ways that I could begin to help Black people heal the trauma of our lived experience and really liberate the part of themselves, the most potent, powerful part of themselves. And so that's what I came here to do on Earth. And that's what I do.
That's amazing. What an amazing example of turning pain into power.
Yes.
And in the great tradition, really, of the Black Panther legacy. So you were carrying on that tradition in terms of helping our people, as you say, transmute that pain.
Yeah. And I always say the revolution won't be televised. It's internal, right? It's inside. If we can evolve, if we can, you know, have an internal evolution, then game over.
Yeah. So unpack that a little bit. You know, you mentioned that you've seen your father actually live more freely. How do you see that? And then how do you carry that into the work now that you do as a trauma slayer?
Yeah, so it's interesting. My father, he's got a fantastic website. He, you know, communicates with the Prince of Tonga. He knows he's personal friends with the heir to the Coca-Cola fortune. Even though he's been incarcerated all this time, he has a lot of very strong advocacy. He knows how to enroll people into his cause and his mission, even from where he sits. And so I just watched him really embody, like, given the constraints and the limitations of his circumstances, I have watched him embody freedom, right? And that's where I really began to ask, you know, is freedom internal? Because I witnessed that in him. And so as I've carried this work into the world and acquired all of the skills and tools that I use to slay trauma, my seeking has always been, how do we set people free internally in the shortest amount of time? How do we get it done fast, right? How do we do it without 10 years on a therapist couch? How do we do it in an hour, right? That's been my quest. And so I feel like I've finally been cracking the code on that. I've cracked the code on how to get that done. So yeah, very proud to carry that legacy in my interpretation of it.
Yeah. And so how do you do that? So explain, I have trauma. We see the daily traumas really that Black people experience. The trauma that we hold in our own bodies from our parents, intergenerational trauma.
Yes.
Because of the traumatic event of our enforcement
here. Yes.
In the U.S.
Yes. Yes.
Unpack that. You know, how do we, where is that freedom?
Yes. So, you know, you can look at it. I look at the trauma. First of all, I look at Black women, right, as the origin of this story. We are the original mothers of this planet, and we carry the burden that entails, right? We are the origin of this whole giddy up out here. So, but I think what I see, you know, I've been in the healing business, the Black people healing business, for 23 years, and here's what I've observed. It really, there's three layers to it. There's mental. Right? There's a mental constraints that we experience. And as I studied neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis and timeline therapy and all of the subconscious approaches that deal with how the mind works, we have mental architecture, right? We usually experience a set of beliefs that we often experience in childhood between ages 0 and 7 when we're imprinting. And we collect evidence for those beliefs. Right? There's an architecture to that. And so I've studied the architecture of that. Like, how do you collapse that building? If you can't build a building on a building, how do you collapse the dysfunctional architecture of limiting beliefs, and so that you can build a new building in its place, right? We also experience it in the emotional realm. You know, there's a lot of conversation in the zeitgeist out here about women are so emotional and men are so logical. And that's a crock. What's true is that, especially as women, we are meant to feel, right? We are meant to feel our way through life. We are meant to feel all the feelings of the human experience, the joy, the pain, right? But we often are carrying such a burden that we never give ourselves permission to really feel, to cry, to grieve, to express, because we shoulder so much. I would also say that there is extraordinary, you know, opportunity in the realm of spiritual blockages, right? I do a lot of work with the spiritual architecture of the being. And I don't mean religious, right? There's no ideology to my work, but I have studied the architecture of the spiritual impact and the spiritual blockages that we have. So for example, when my dad got arrested, the cops came knocking at my door. They put a gun to my head, you know, and, you know, they say you make a move, we'll blow her head off. And at that moment in time, I know that I left my body sort of, you know, we go into shock. And I, in all of my work and all over the years, I have been really looking for, you know, how to recover from that very traumatic moment. And we all have moments like that, you know, the moment that we find out what it really means to be Black on this planet. You know, the moment that we find out what it really means to be a woman on this planet. There's all kinds of events that we have that get us very stuck. And trauma has a location. It has a time and a space in the mind, body, and soul, in the nervous system. And so my work really has to do with going in and finding the root of events that spark the trauma, right? There's an architecture to it. And if you can locate the time and the space and blow the negative emotional charge on those events, you'll find that people move with much more flow and much more space and much more presence and much more clarity. But you can actually go in and sort of surgically pluck that out so that people are sort of free to move the way that they're meant to.
Wow, that is deep and revelatory and so needed. When you said and you described your own, situation of trauma, that immediately I saw an image. I could see that happening as a young girl. And like you said, everyone has that particular moment in their life of that trauma for them. And when you speak about the architecture, and so it's like the mapping and remapping, it sounds like that you do through the work that you do to have us then flow again. And so for Black women, and this is something that I've noticed more recently, I'd love your thoughts on it. It seems like, and maybe it's just because Veronica, social media, and we're seeing more things. It seems like there are a lot of explosions happening for Black women publicly more. And I'd be curious on your thoughts of this. It's everything from, there was a woman here in the Los Angeles area who apparently ran over like six different people. Like she was gunning through, and it made national news. And she was a nurse, and there's other cases like that where we're seeing like these great tragedies, unlike we'd seen before with Black women. And so it's really brought me to this place. I'm like, we need some help. Like, and there's nothing to be ashamed of regarding this help. But what are your thoughts, and what do you see as being someone who sees trauma all the time, and your role, your call is to help unleash that?
I think that one of the great unspoken aftermath of the pandemic is the mental health crisis that we're currently experiencing. Because I just think that we've all gone through a collective trauma event that not has not necessarily gotten fully processed, right? And so everyone experienced it differently. But I'm going to say with Black, for Black women that carry more of a burden and carry often are carrying extraordinary pressures in relationship to their finances, in relationship to caring for others, in relationship to perhaps how they interact in their career. Like we have an additional burden, right? The burden of what's happening to our men, right? And so I think there's an additional pressure, additional layer of pressure that is not only our current trauma, but as you spoke to earlier, the intergenerational trauma that gets passed down either in the epigenetics and the bloodline or through the environment, right? Because our parents were doing the best they could with what they had, but they were traumatized too, right? And so I think we just had that additional burden. And if we don't get help to relieve that pressure, to lift that burden, to ease that, then we can become quite volatile because we've taken on more, we've carried more than most. I just believe that. I know that. Now, in contrast to that, what I also find is because Black women have done so much with so little for so long, I find that often we just need this last 10 to 20%. And if we can get that healed, get that trauma healed, get that, we take off like a rocket ship because we have the goods. We are resourceful. We can make something out of nothing. And often have to. We our energy precedes us, right? Our power precedes us. But if it's unclarified, unprocessed, unrealized, right? It can often turn inward and turn against us. It can become our own worst enemy because we carry great power. The question is, can we take that power, clarify it, heal it, and then direct it to our highest and best outcomes? That's what this is really about. It's the transmutation of all that pain and turning that into power. Otherwise, it becomes quite toxic. and volatile inside of us.
Yes. And a pollution, really, a
yes.
self-pollution. And to your point, it reminds me of when people derail, they call it, you know, in the corporate world, your own self-derailment. And I see that sometimes. I see exactly what you're saying in Black women who have so much power, and the world tries to take that from them,
yes.
or
yes.
tries to, you know, blight out our shine, our
yes.
flex.
Yes.
And like you said, and key word, and this has been a theme of several of our podcast episodes, it keeps coming up. So there's something there, and that is getting help. And Veronica, we don't always get help, or we don't
no.
know how to get help.
Right.
How do you encourage Black women to get the help they need to move beyond the trauma and go into the power rocket ship experience you just mentioned?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it is paying attention to the things that we tend to overlook and override in our own nervous systems. In other words, we get signals, right, in the form of emotion or tears or rage or body stuff, right? Because of the mind body soul connection. So I think, first of all, to being having the courage to stand witness with ourselves, monitor our own thoughts and feelings, and be willing to tell the truth about how we feel. Like, that's the first step, is to acknowledge how we feel, acknowledge our grief and our pain, right? And then knowing that, you know, I think sometimes we are so afraid to, we're afraid if we start crying, we'll never stop. Right. So I think we have to be willing to feel the emotions and think the thoughts, and then find, you know, the being that you resonate most with that can help you. I, you know, in my work, and with all due respect to therapy, right, I've been through therapy. I've helped people that have been through therapy. But the way I think about my work that's a little bit different than that is, oftentimes when we talk therapy, we get more understanding of our issues, right? But we don't necessarily solve them per se. It's like, I think about like a record, right? I'm dating myself, an LP, you know, vinyl, like my daughter has vinyl records now, but we're going back to that. But in therapy, we often are playing the record. Like, if we keep talking about it, it creates more grooves in the record. I go in and scratch the record so that the record never plays the same again. That's the difference, right? So we can do that in like a couple of sessions. And so you find the help that resonates the most for you, given your, but it's first awareness, and then it's reaching out.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the key is awareness, self-awareness, and then the courage to seek out that help. I do think that, you know, social media has helped in regards to more people sharing that
agreed
go to therapy,
agreed,
and people who, you know, celebrities, things like that, people who others look up to, you know, and normalizing it. The stigma has been reduced. It's still there for a lot of people, but there is this greater sense of, yes, it's okay to go to therapy. Yes, it's okay to seek coaching, whether that's, you know, traditional therapy or something like the services that you provide, in, you know, different ways to unpack that trauma and really go after that drama that's holding us back. What are some steps that Black women can take to, you talk about unleashing and uncrashing. Can you unpack what that looks like and how we can, you know, delve into that to live richer, softer lives? There's this movement of, you know, hey, let's live the soft life. And people are resonating with that and understanding more what that looks like, that it is self-awareness, it is self-care, but it's even beyond that. How do you relate to that?
Yes. So, and it's, you know, it's funny. I have a program that I created because I've worked with many high profile people, actresses that are in the media spotlight, people that, you know, I worked with the CEO of the National Black MBAs when they were having their big national conference, and then Katrina happened at the site of their $13 million a year conference. So she had to get on a plane and fly to 10 cities in 7 days and rebook that conference on a dime, right? So I've been on the high wire act with rich Black women that had to really pivot, that were having major crisis publicly. And you gotta keep your head, heart, body on straight, right? You have to be stay in the game when there's incoming of media and flashing lights. And so oftentimes crashing comes from, you've leaped, you're doing the big thing, you're on the high wire act, but the higher the wire act, the higher the stakes. And so how do you keep emotional equilibrium when you have events that would really throw you off the wire, right? And with the world watching, by the way. And so I think that is, I've had the privilege to support people through those kinds of processes, because oftentimes there's just no, it's very rare that people even understand the prices that you're paying and what you've been through and what it takes, and how, how you can't let them see you sweat. People just often don't understand the prices that we pay as rich Black women. So, that is about recovering from that is about, finding the wound, finding the source of the trauma, and just blowing all of the emotional charge on it so that you can move with some peace and equilibrium. It's very difficult to react in these high stakes situations if you're afraid or you're being triggered into some childhood fear. I always say, your inner 5-year-old is running your life, CEO. You know that, right? Your inner child is running your business or your enterprise. So it's really creating safety, and having you not react out of the past. A trigger is by definition a place where we are taking the present moment and we're collapsing it with a previous moment, right? We're acting as though what's happening now is the same as something that happened in the past. That's what a trigger is. So when we uncollapse those things, then people are often untriggered, unbothered, and they can move through what they have to do to get the job done.
So good. Unbothered.
Yes.
Unbothered. And we often claim that we are unbothered,
Right.
Veronica, but we in fact are
Are
bothered.
bothered.
Yes. And we need to take on counsel from other
Yes.
people and tap into your circle of counsel, because we all, as Black women, we need sister support, counsel, and coaching.
Yes.
And people like yourself with that type of expertise to help us move through. I love what you said about emotional equilibrium, so
Yes.
that you can react
Yes.
and respond in
Right.
the appropriate way. And I
Yes.
do see that that's an area that we need growth in, because it's a mastery skill too, right? Like you said, your inner 5-year-old is used to reemerging and taking over. And
Yes.
so how do you, I love that image. And so how do you put her back and allow the adult to respond and to not paint the future with what happened in your past?
Yes. Yes, the little one needs to feel safe. And oftentimes, as Black women, we have not been given opportunities to feel safe. So when she feels safe, the world becomes safe and your world becomes safe. So you'd be surprised if you can heal her a bit, then she can actually help you. She can, in other words, instead of her undermining you, because she will, if you ignore her for long enough, she will undermine you. She will put you in the fetal position. But if you can have her feel safe, then you can move with greater, like I said, equanimity and equilibrium, through what must be done in your mission.
How do you tame that little girl? How do you make sure she's on your side?
Well, again, it's about, in my work, we go back to the architecture. We go back to the root cause of the first events, right? There's often a root event that has set up an entire pattern that you're operating from. And it may be quite subconscious. You may not even know why you're responding the way you do in certain situations. You may not know why you trigger and react the way you do. So we go back and we heal it. We heal the emotional charge at the root. And then what you'll find is that the pattern just disappears. We just blow up the architecture of the pain and the charge. And then we just are able to move with, like, people often report feeling not just that they get the results that they get in their business or their career, but they have peace while doing it. They fall in love with themselves while doing it. And that's the most important thing. We often put off loving ourselves until we get the thing, the gig, the client, the this or that, right? But what if you could love yourself all the way into your greatness? Different game, right? So that you can feel the peace along the way, so that you can enjoy the journey.
Well, sign me up. This sounds amazing. And how do, you know, if somebody is listening to this and they're like, hey, I want to kind of check this out
Yeah.
and learn more, what would they do and what can they expect?
Yeah. So if you go to youunleashed.com, that's YOU dash unleashed, UNLEASHED.com. That's my website. You can also catch me on Instagram at Veronica Conway 007. It's Veronica Conway 007. And I have, I have links in the bio, and you can kind of investigate my world, kind of see and get a sense of what it's like to be in my world. It's the simplest way to get me and what they can expect. Ooh, quantum leap, baby. I mean, I am so proud of my work because I just see people. I've taken six people out of suicidal ideation this year. I've taken two Black women that were being recommended to electroshock therapy and got them unsuicidal within a couple of sessions. So the work that I do really does save and change lives. So you can expect a quantum leap because we get it done and we get it done fast. I'm like, no time to waste. Let's go. Let's right. Let's go. So if you want to reach out, there's ways to do that on my website, my Instagram, and we can just have a conversation to see what makes sense and if it's a fit.
Beautiful. And I love that, you know, we're at a place where there's so much knowledge and there's so many resources. And it really is about finding and trying, you know, what fits for you. And
Right.
so if this sounds like something that fits for what you're going through and the season of life that you're in too, you know, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing or I only do it this way. You know, I always say, like, you can do Jesus and therapy too. You
Yes,
know,
yes,
people
yes,
think like, oh,
yes.
I can't go to therapy because if I'm not believing that God is, you know, all powerful and my faith. And it's like, no, we wouldn't say that with a regular, you know, a physical primary care doctor. If you're
Right,
hurting, you
right,
would say, oh, well, I just have to believe that my broken
right,
leg is
right,
going to
right,
heal, you
right,
know?
right.
So it's, we're slowly, I think, becoming more in tune with the
Yes.
fact, and particularly for us, Veronica, if you think about if ever there was a people that needed and was worthy of trauma slaying and
Yes.
worthy of self-love and worthy of the deepest forms of self-care and worthy of mental health support, it is us for
It is
all that we have been through.
absolutely, absolutely. We are the origin of the story, and we deserve it above all, right? I mean, and again, what I see over and over again is we often just need this last 10 to 20%, and then we everything instead of having the wind at our face, which is what we're fighting, battling uphill, we get the wind at our back because all that we carry and all that we embody, it becomes available to us. Right, it becomes available to us. All of our power becomes available to us, and that's what I live for. That's why I'm here.
And on that note, that's a beautiful visual, you know, moving that power to become a tailwind to get you there faster. 'Cause that's what happens when you're on your flight and you guys catch some tailwinds. You get to that destination much more quickly and smoothly. And
Yes.
so, to the rich Black woman listening, you know, consider the tools in your toolbox and consider if this resonates with you, checking out our rich Black woman, Veronica Conway. Veronica, truly a pleasure and an honor to be here having this conversation with your legacy. And we wish you nothing but continued richness in your journey.
Thank you.
That's my jam, y'all. Well, since you stayed to the end, hop on over to richblackwoman.com and sign up for our abundance newsletter for more after-party highlights like this.